Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. consistently ranks among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
If I ever write this letter, all the pages I could write.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. The time has come for listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Our email address, as usual, talkback@issuesetc.org. And the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. What's up first, Jeff?
Well, you ready for the big day tomorrow, the kickoff of the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference at Concordia University Chicago?
I most certainly am. I'm ready. In fact, on the way home from work last night, I was composing the one introduction that I am most concerned about, because I introduced the speakers, and I was most concerned about introducing Bill Barr.
He's speaking?
Yes.
Wow.
Didn't you know that?
Wait a minute. More importantly, the conference is tomorrow?
Yes. So I was composing that in my head, and I think I have a fitting introduction for Mr. Barr. You know, you don't want to mess that one up. If it's just Brian Wolfmiller, what can you say about Brian Wolfmiller? But this is my one and only chance to introduce Bill Barr, so I'm going to try and make the most of it.
So we're looking forward to seeing 500 plus of our listeners on Friday and Saturday this week, June 24th, 25th. We'll kick it off with a live broadcast tomorrow from 3 to 5 Central. Dr. Rachel Ferguson of Concordia University Chicago. She's got a new book out titled Black Liberation Through the Marketplace. You need to work on some reading that book on our journey to...
It's in my backpack right now.
River Forest tonight. And Pastor Peter Bender. We're actually going to be concluding our series on the St. Peter Option from the conference with Pastor Bender.
I'm looking forward to having Peter there in front of a live audience. He's older than us, but he's got way more energy than, maybe not more energy than Jeff, but certainly more energy than me. So I think we're going to get to see Bender live. That's what I'll call it.
Who's got more energy, Will Wheaton or Peter Bender?
Well, I'll say this, energy channeled in the right direction, Bender. Sheer energy, Will Wheaton.
So Wheaton's, I don't think Will sleeps. Energetic about everything.
Yeah. I don't think Will sleeps. I think while he's sleeping, he's probably doing push-ups or something like that. Because I can't imagine him sleeping. Can you picture your mind, Will Wheaton sleeping?
I don't think he does. I already saw him exercise, and that's not a pretty sight. I can't fathom.
Yeah, I remember that.
All right. Well, last week on listener email on the Issues Etc. comment line, we clearly hit the third rail in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dogs in church. Let's begin with Jerry. Jerry says, I was just wondering, you mentioned the dog walkers in your responding to listeners June 14th segment. Could it be that the dog walkers were actually dog sitting? If so, let us remember they too are children of God, whether or not they believe it to be so, and applaud them for doing their chosen vocation instead of insulting their looks and actions.
Oh, he's talking about the B. Pierced trio that I saw when I was in Iowa with my grandkids that were, just to fill everybody in, we were at a nature reserve. They were having a big dog walk on the trail there. The trail passed by a playground that we were playing at, and I was headed out to the van to get something, and these dog walkers walked past me. Most people were walking one dog or two dogs. Each of these three had at least five dogs. And they were, in one case, the dogs were quite vicious. They were like snapping at each other. And I just texted my daughter to say, hey, watch out. There are some people headed your way. I didn't say people. I used a derogatory term. I should not have, but I did. Headed your way. Because vicious dogs around children are never a good idea. So I agree with you. These dog walkers are made in the image of God. They are besmirching the image. If you saw them, you would agree with me wholeheartedly that they were obviously attempting to to foul the image of God with their various, and I have nothing against piercings. I have nothing against tattoos. I have beloved family members who are both. So nothing against it. But it does reach a point where you clearly see it's an act of self-destruction. And that's what I was commenting on. I don't know where the line is, but you can tell when someone is trying to mar the image of God physically. They're no longer trying to enhance it. Like a woman who gets her ears pierced, she wants to kind of enhance her natural beauty. We all know that that works. But when it becomes 25 piercings in your ear, you begin to wonder whether it's enhancement or it's something's going on, something self-destructive. So that's what I was commenting on. And I certainly could have done it better. Now, the dogs are not children of God. The dogs are creatures of God. And it's still dangerous to walk five dogs at once around small children.
Michael in Ohio, I was listening to the listener comment line program regarding comfort dogs in church. Well, here is a new take on the subject, and that is a church that has dog Sunday school. No, I'm not kidding you. This doggy Sunday school is actually held during the worship service, so instead of bringing your kids to church, you can bring your dog or dogs, whatever the case may be. I am sending a link to the dog Sunday school, the sponsoring church, which is a church I was baptized in 67 years ago and nurtured me in the faith. This particular church has since shifted theologically to the far left. I do not know if this dog Sunday school thing is a trend seen in other progressive left-leaning churches, but it happened here in the city where I live at a church that I used to be a part of. I am sorrowful for what has happened at what used to be a gospel preaching church and now has literally gone to the dogs, concludes Michael in Ohio.
Okay, I'm going to try to... Putting the best construction on things does not mean saying good things when you ought to say bad things. Like, a man murders his wife. Well, let's put the best construction on it. Maybe she had it coming. Something like that. No, there are some things you cannot put you cannot say positive things about, but you can still put the best construction on it. Say, all right, maybe this is the situation. Calling it dog Sunday school is ridiculous. If you wanted to call it dog sitting, dog nursery, dog kenneling, however you wanted to call it, so that people who brought their dogs to church or could, for some reason, couldn't be parted from their dogs long enough to go to church, had a place to put their dog. Why don't you just call it a dog park? That's a good idea. Maybe the best thing, fence off an area out on the lawn of the church for dogs. And if people bring their dogs to church, that's where their dogs can go. They can go play, supervised play during church. I can't say that there's any thus saith the Lord that would prohibit a church from doing that. But to call it dog Sunday school is inviting ridicule. Because, number one, dogs are not the object of God's word. They are certainly God's creatures. And you're kind of mocking the whole idea of Sunday school by doing this. I know it's cute. I know they probably thought it was a great idea when they sat around coming up with this idea. Let's have dog Sunday school. And apparently either the pastor was not in the room or he was so incompetent that he did not have the wherewithal to say, no. Let's call it something else. Why don't we just call it dog watching? You can even call it dog babysitting, even though baby implies that we're dealing with human beings. But let's not call it dog Sunday school, as though those dogs are going and they're sitting down doing, and you're doing, you know, what was the felt boards? They tell you the Bible story with the little felt boards. You remember that? Back in the day, before the screens, they would illustrate the Bible story with little figures made out of felt, as though you're doing this with the dog. Or did you guys ever watch the videos, that Jot videos? Oh my goodness, you didn't?
I never saw those. No, I never saw any of those.
Okay, Google it. That was the substance of a lot of my Sunday school when I was a kid, Jot. It was a cartoon, a Christian cartoon. Really weird too. So let's not mock Sunday school that is intended for our children by having dog Sunday school. And I'm not even going to mention the whole humanizing of our pets, which is, and that's the danger here, is that when you humanize your pets, you don't blur the line between your pet. You love your pet. And we do have a tendency to humanize them. But when you do that, you are not elevating the dog to near human status, you're degrading the human to near dog status.
Hi, I just was listening to a recent responding to a listener email. What is Rural King? And the other thing is, we often have a dog at our church because one of the ladies who attends our church is blind and she has a seeing eye dog. I don't know if there's a new term for that, but I hope that we would welcome those kinds of dogs in our church. Thank you. My name is Becky from St. Louis.
All right, Becky, I completely agree with you that when someone needs a, what would they call this now, an assistance dog or a, they have a name for them. But we used to call them seeing eye dogs. That is the dog that sees for you. If someone needs that, by all means, an entire church of seeing eye dogs. I have no problem with that. They can be in the congregation, sitting in the pews, panting away and even barking when they feel like it. No problem whatsoever with that, because that's a necessary help for a person who cannot see. So I agree with you 100% there. We should encourage that kind of stuff. Someone needs a dog for other reasons. They're, like I mentioned before, there are dogs that can tell when your blood sugar is low. There's dogs that can tell when someone's about to have a seizure. There's all kinds of helper dogs. Those are good things. What is Rural King? Rural King is a... Okay, so picture Walmart.
I'm just going to read. It says, Rural King Supply is a farm supply store based in Mattoon, Illinois. Founded in 1960, it now has 125 stores in the states of Florida, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, Ohio, Michigan, Missouri, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Virginia, West Virginia, and Alabama.
So it's a semi-national chain of farm stores, largely found in rural areas, thus the Rural King. It's got free popcorn, usually. And in my case, I think it's true of all Rural Kings. You can bring your dog, and people often do. Every time I go to Rural King, the place is full of dogs. And you can buy chickens, you can buy ducks, you can buy turkeys. I'm talking about the chicks. You can buy feed, you can buy any, if you have horses, you can buy any implements for your horses. You can buy a...
They have clothing.
They have clothes.
They have guns.
Yeah.
They have camping. Kitchen supplies.
They got fence posts. They've got automotive, mostly farm-related automotive. Anything that would help you run a farm, they've got it. And although I'm not a farmer, I wish I had become a farmer sometimes. And that's why I like to hang out at Rural King. That, the free popcorn. But I would never bring my dog because she can't handle it. And there, I just anthropomorphized my own dog by calling her she. She's just an it. That's all she is. I love her, but she's still an it.
Would make me happy when you've gone so far away.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Help us who rightly seat us.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We desire for all Christian children, including those with learning or behavior challenges, to receive a strong education in the faith. At simplyclassical.com, you will find reading, penmanship, and copybook exercises based on the truth, wisdom, and comfort of God's Word. We include Aesop's Fables and classic children's literature, math, and science, all from Memoria Press. Use promo code LPR22 at simplyclassical.com.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom, Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12 and is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues Etc., 713-855-2681.
I'm assuming you got my message on your machine.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line on this Thursday, June the 22nd. Here is a question from the Issues Etc. comment line about our latest interview with Chris Rosebro, the Southern Baptist Convention, and female pastors.
Hi, this is Allie calling from Atwater, Minnesota. I'm listening to the episode 1724 about Rick Warren's address to the Southern Baptists in California. I just have a question for Pastor Rosebro. You stated 1 Corinthians where women are not to teach and preach, and then you applied that to women should not be ordained over men. But the teaching and preaching, are you saying that women cannot lead Bible study or teach Sunday school, the next generation? Can you clarify this a little bit more, please? Thank you. And thank you for what you do on Issues,
etc. So the historic position of the church, based upon the passages that Pastor Rosebro had cited there in Corinthians, has been that women do not teach as pastors in the church. They cannot hold the pastoral office. That is the unanimous practice of the church based upon Paul's command there. Paul says it's a command from Christ himself. Unanimous until the mid-20th century. Well, perhaps the early 20th century when some kind of fringe denominations began to ordain women as pastors. With the rise of Pentecostalism, they just threw it all out the window and anybody could be a pastor. You could be a 10-year-old boy and still be a pastor. And some of them were. And then it kind of worked its way into mainline Christianity. I'm talking here about the seven sisters, the seven denominations that made up the mainline denominations. And then it found its way into Lutheran churches in the early 70s with the precursors to the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America deciding to ordain women. And then, of course, it's taken off and gone completely into whole hog into the sexual revolution. But until then, the church heeded Paul's command about women not teaching as pastors. But where do women teach? They teach first in the home. They are, along with their husbands. Their husbands are the primary catechists, that is, teachers in the home. But they also, women do teach. They teach the Word of God to their children. And so, by extension, when Sunday school was invented, and let's remember, Sunday school is a very Sunday school and Bible class are very recent inventions in the Christian church. I'm talking about the formal classes that you have on Sunday morning or throughout the middle of the week. They are very recent, as in none prior to the 20th century. Now, did people teach? Yes, they did teach. But Sunday school is a very recent invention. Not a bad one. I've heard some pastors say it is one. But those pastors are just lazy. They don't want to do any extra teaching. And I think what the church has seen that is that's an extension of the home. So are women permitted to teach children? Well, yes, they teach their own children. And by extension, we say they can teach their other children as well. Now, where would we draw the line reasonably? We would draw the line reasonably at teaching adults or teaching men. Now, I know that this may fly in the face of everything that you've seen in your congregation, depending on where you go to church, but that is an innovation that is unheard of in the church, to have women teach adults and men. It's unheard of. The teaching of children was an extension from the home. So we need to understand that when, say, a layman teaches a Bible class, which does happen, I was raised in a congregation where both the pastors taught a Bible class on Sunday morning, but then there were probably six or seven Bible classes being taught by laymen. One of them was my dad. He taught Bible class on Sunday morning He may still do it. I'm not sure. That was viewed as an extension of his teaching both his children and under the auspices of the pastor, teaching adults. So they actually had Bible class training for these men who would teach Bible class on Sunday morning. And if understood correctly as an extension of that, they're deputized by the pastor, so to speak, under his supervision to teach Bible class. The curriculum is surveyed and vetted and approved by the pastor because the teaching office belongs to the pastor in the church. Then that's fine. So the question is, should women be teaching adult Bible class? No, because Paul says they are not to teach in the church. He doesn't say they can't teach at home. He doesn't say they can't teach at school. He doesn't say any of those. He says they are not to teach in the church. And we may not like that. They may fly in the face of all our sensibilities that, by the way, have been warped by feminism. That may fly in the face of what you think is right or what you think is fair. But Paul says everyone should recognize this as a command of the Lord. And he's unambiguous about women teaching in the church. And like I said, we may not like that, but at the very least, he prohibits women from holding the pastoral office, but it doesn't stop there.
Well, Chicago, here we come, Wilkin.
I'm actually really looking forward to this one, but I say the reason, sometimes I dread a little bit the conference back in the day when it was, you know, the amount of work it took. I always said it was like 2.5 days of never sitting down. The only time I sit down is to actually do the live broadcast at the beginning. But they've made it so easy for us up there at Concordia University, Chicago, that I remember being just nervous and fretting about the details going up to this thing. And then driving up, you're thinking, did I forget something? Is it something we didn't pack for this? Because it was kind of all on our shoulders. These guys have just lifted the burden off of us. We show up, we plug in, and we go. We sound check, they're there. It's just marvelous to work with pros like this.
Wait a minute, so you're telling me I'm going to have the office all to myself for the next day and a half?
Yes.
Oh, me and snow cones. I can't wait.
And let's don't forget, we used to do these conferences without Deaconess Lynn Fredrickson.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, Deaconess has been for the last, she's going to correct me on this, but I'm going to say for the last 2 months, has been assembling things in front of her desk. So up until I walked in the office this morning, her desk was almost invisible. It was covered in all the things that she had been meticulously packing up for this, making sure we had everything. She's our advance team. She doesn't go up there but in advance, but she works in advance with everybody up there. And then I walk into the office today, and there's Lynn's desk. It's clean. There are no boxes around it. There's nothing because Jeff had loaded all of it into the van for us to drive. Next hour, we're going to look forward to Sunday morning, according to the 3-year lectionary, talking with Dr. Carl Thecantor of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, about the cost of following Jesus in Luke chapter 9. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay with us.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood. Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His.